Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com, and not forgetting East Anglia's EDL radio show, the official English Defence League's radio station. And tonight, the co-host, one of my regular co-hosts is Tommy English. Welcome, Tom. Good to see you, brother.
Hello, Jeff. You all right, mate?
Yeah, is my sound quality better this evening? I'm just giving you a sound check while we go live. Am
right?
Yeah, you sound all right on my end, but obviously if I get anything in the chat box saying, Jeff, you're breaking up, Jeff, you're... Oh, wait, there,
yeah,
popping out,
you're
breaking up.
I thought I'd give it another go tonight on my Skype. These days, gentlemen, I've been having a little problems with the blog. And as I say, if I do get any problems tonight, I'll probably just call into the show like I used to do a little while ago. But at this moment in time, I think everything's fine. So there you go, Tom. Guess what? Today, just before I come to the show, and it's been in the chat room as well. I've got a great chat room in building, quite deep. But I've got a new Pat Condell video, which very much supports the EDL. It's going to be played in a little while, just to let you know, ladies and gentlemen. It was a blessing to see it today. So it's good to see that that Pat Condell has been speaking to us in a positive way. We get so much negativity from people, but it's good to see that reflects what we really are all about, and that's a great compliment from the gentleman as well. Would you not agree, Tom?
Yeah. Also, just to let you know, we might have our little Geordie calling in a bit.
Oh, our Bill. Sir Bill, should we say Sir Bill?
Oh, yeah. He's just inboxed me now saying, what's the BTR code? What's the BTR number? I said, calm down, I'll get to you in a bit.
Calm down.
Calm down, dear. It's only a commercial.
You got it. Well, there you go. Look at that. Already we've got Sir Bill sitting in the chat room this evening.
Oh, no, he don't waste time, does he?
He does not, no. Bill, bring you in soon. I've got something I want to read out. That was on the website, www.englishdefenseleague.org website. Please check that website. We've got some great articles that you would really like to read. The website, we've got some great writers and people have been really working hard there. So please check out the website. And also, there is a donation. You click on the donate. It helps the cause, ladies and gentlemen. It's got to be said, it does help the cause, doesn't it, Tom? Certain things that we just, you know, we're not like the scumbags, the UAF, are funded by people like Dave Cameron and all these oinks we got in Parliament. And from the three parties, it's not from the Conservative, but it's from the Liberals and it's from the Labour Party as well. So, they support. Exactly.
Obviously.
Yeah, but it's it's what we call, what I call, the traitors within. I was talking today, Tom. I was listening to it. I was on another Facebook chatting away, and do you know what? With people saying about what's been going on in Egypt. Now, when I look at the downfall of the Muslim Brotherhood, I'll bet Cameron's standing his feet, he's left his hair up, not knowing what to do, and I'll bet Obama's doing the same thing, not very happy. It's not quite going to plan it, Cameron and Obama. The Muslim Brotherhood, people don't want them around.
God, it didn't take them long, did it, for them to start their own downfall? But I'm going to get this out of the...
Yeah, go on, Tom. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is for all EDL. You've all seen it anyway, but I'm just going to get it out anyway. Tommy Robinson said on Twitter, could all English Defence League stay away from Lee Rigby's funeral on the 12th of July? I know people have the best intentions, but not this. So, obviously, you don't want us to go to the film, but you can all do your own bit anyway.
That's what I think he meant. You know, this is it's about Lee Rigby's funeral today, and you know, it's only right. I can see exactly what Tommy means by that.
If the UAF understand that, oh yeah, we're going to be at a funeral, what they're going to do? They're going to go and counter protest.
Yeah, well, this is it, and it's not the day for protesting, counter-protesting, or whatever. People should respect that young man's funeral for the day, and I agree with what
Bob said. Yeah, it's also a very dark day today, because today was actually supposed to be his birthday. He was going to be 26 today.
Yeah, it's just a few thoughts about that for the young man. It had been his birthday today. But as we saw before us, and the world saw, Tom, the total brutality of these jihadists butchering a young man who was on his way back to the barracks. I mean, these people were cowards, though, wasn't they, Tom? These are cowards. I mean, come on, guys. Run a guy over. He's a soldier. Remo. Disable the guy. And then go about their business of doing what they did, you know. Torturing that young man.
Cowards. The one thing that these Muslims in the UAS can't do is one-to-one fighting. They have to have a group against one.
It's the pack effect. You know, this is what it is. It's like a wild pack of animals, isn't it? You know, and we don't like to defame animals, but that's like rabid. They call them what they are. Rabid animals. You know, they got to be called that. Anybody that does anything like that, I can't think of another name. Coranimal? Maybe that's more fitting, isn't it? Because, as I say, these people born and bred in... Well, was they born and bred in this country? I think they was, wasn't they? Well, grown jihadists indoctrinated while in this country. I think at one time one of them was actually a Christian. He comes from a Christian family. So, you know, this proves how evil this cult of Islam is, ladies and gentlemen. People like him become involved. We saw him back in, what was it, 2000 and, about a couple of years ago.
You're talking about the Harrow demonstration.
Yes, that's right.
That's 2009.
That was 2009, yes, and we saw him. And he was at a UAF. It was a UAF meeting, was it? Or assembly there?
No, it was actually speaking before the march. And if you watch the video, guys, he's saying the kuffara dogs and should be killed. And all these UAF non-Muslims are cheering him.
Well, that just goes to show you that what we've got for us, guys, this is what we say all the time, that they do, it's that they follow like a pack dog culture. These cling on to this other group of people like they do, and just try to cause lots of anxiety. And of course, we got people like David Cameron, and 200 politicians that supporting this UIF. We got to say it again, he's an own Islamist, too, isn't he? The one who's leading this UIF. I'm surprised, really, that politicians haven't tried to distance themselves a little bit. It's quite obvious. They don't really care, do they?
They're basically hanging themselves because they're on the UAF signatures. And when it all came out that the monsters who killed Lee Rigby became known to have been known UAF supporters, I'm surprised no one's pulling out saying, right, if you're going to give platforms to these sorts of Muslims, then I'm not going to support you. But no. No, they're still on the signatures, and David Cameron's still supporting them. Nick Clegg's still supporting them. I mean, where are the decent politicians?
Have we got any?
We haven't had a decent decent politician since 1945.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing about it, it's not so much that. It's if any of them do, we do know that we've had certain politicians that have actually raised their heads, and actually there was one at Southend that actually went over and took Tommy's hand, Conservative MP. He went over and shook hand, and basically, I think he got thrown out of party. Jump over it.
Yeah, he whispered to Tommy, and I support you.
Yeah, it was like that. That shows that not all politicians are falling the line of the main ones out there. That some of them do think outside of the box. But it does mean once they raise their heads and speak out against these, they get slapped down. very hard. It was like that that other one on the Twitter that time said the only people in this country is doing anything positively is the English Defence League. Well, she had to retract what she said because her job was up for balance if she didn't. So she had to. Although once it's in the domain, once it's been out on the Twitter, that's it. It's out there, isn't it? So,
yeah. You
know, even though people say and try to retract, it's too bad. It doesn't matter, you lose your temper, you start saying things. You know, it's out there. And being a politician, you should have known that. So, and it's quite obvious that it was undermined. She spoke honestly, but I think she didn't realise the repercussions at that moment in time. And I think she was taken aback a little bit. But this is what we got with in politics these days, ladies and gentlemen. People do. Let's say there are politicians out who would speak up, but they get slapped down very hard by the others out there, you know, the counterparts. But that is the problem. But yeah, as I say, I've got to welcome everybody. We've got a very busy chat room this evening, and it's building all the time. A popular one we've got in the chat. There's lots. We've got lots of guests. And we've got like Drush Drum, Darren Wall, Colin, we've got yourself, me, Tom. Let's have a look at, goodness me, Tom, it is a list here.
I know, a lot of people, isn't they?
Well, we've got, of course, Golf Dogs. It's good to see you, Golf Dogs. And we've got our own Ivan Humble, your brother. Always good to see you, the producer of the show. And we've got, Tom, you like doing this, Ivan Big One. Hi, Ivan. Good to see you, buddy.
Oh,
dear. I've got to admit, that nickname is brilliant. It does give us a giggle, doesn't it, every time. And then we've got John the Light. Oh, John, because he called in on the show before, didn't he? Last week, and that was a great call, John. And you want to call in anytime, please do. And, of course, we've got our very own Poppy. Bless you, Poppy. She works very hard in the background doing all the good things that she does. Team EDL.
EDL.
It's got to be done. And we got one. This is a great name. This is a great one. Possible SDL. I think that's it. Possible. If I've got it wrong, sorry about that.
Possible SDL.
There you go. That's it, mate. And, of course, we've got the Osprey. I think I've seen you before, the Osprey. It's good to see you. And we've got another guest there as well. We've got another guest, John. My goodness me. It's getting busy, Tom. But I'd like to welcome everybody this evening to the East Anglia's EDL Radio Show. So we've got a few things that we want to talk about tonight. I've got Pat Condell, who's sitting in the background. I've just poured him out another cup of tea that we'll play. Bring him on a bit later.
Yeah.
And I've also got have you got any links that you anything there you wanted to talk about, Tom? Because I've got something I've got ready to go with.
I've found this earlier that there's been another murder in this country in the name of Islam.
Really?
Yep. Teenage gap year student was knifed to death in the street in broad daylight by a sniggering stranger. Kieran Crump Raiswell was out looking for a job when he was attacked. Imran Hussein drove from Manchester to Coventry to carry out the attacks. The 27-year-old claimed he had been hearing voices in his head. He ran off to his car laughing before he drove off, jury is told. Hussein has admitted to manslaughter but has denied murder.
Not forgetting, a couple of weeks ago we heard about the disabled man who was in a wheelchair, and I think he lost his feet or his toes from, I don't know if it was gangrene or something or other, and he was disabled, and he was decapitated, wasn't he? Same thing, a Muslim. It's becoming too prominent now what we see in these attacks on our citizens in this country now. Would you not agree, Tom?
Yeah. Also, I've got to say, Colin, I love it. I love my new hoodie. He just tagged me in it. It says English Defence League LGBT Division, No Surrender, and then Tommy English.
That's
I'm getting
good,
that
mate.
At Birmingham.
Yeah, well, that people know you then, wouldn't they, Tom? They know you now anyway.
Well,
but, yeah.
I always say to people, look for the big sunglasses and you'll find me.
How true, yeah, that is just a bit like your calling card, isn't it, your dark card, isn't it, somewhat?
Yeah,
so you got yourself a new hoodie, have you, Sam?
Yeah, the one I've got now, I've had it too long and I've kind of grown out of it. It's too short.
You still won't, didn't you?
I know, well, I think I must have got that 2 years ago, my hoodie.
Oh, yeah, you would have grown a little bit. I mean, you're still a growing lad, aren't you? My goodness me, you're going to be about 6'12¾" soon.
I'll be as tall as Kev by Christmas.
And Kev's tall.
I know.
When I look up, it makes me neck ache. But I've got something I want to talk about. It was, as I say, it's on the website, and I was talking to one of our colleagues last night, and I just had a chat about doing it tonight. So I'd like to open up this evening. Oh, my goodness, the time goes so quick, doesn't it, Tom? I've just noticed 20 minutes have gone so far since we've opened up the talking this evening. But anyway, let me... this is the Woolwich 10 Lapses of Liberty, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you've got the link there, Tom, at all, but I'll put it in the chat in a bit. But just copying it at the moment, and I'll paste it into the room in a little while. But it starts off, Tommy Robinson once again became a prisoner of conscience on Saturday. This time for peacefully walking while being Tommy Robinson. He and EDL coach leader Kevin Carroll were walking across their country's capital to save the life of a child died from cancer and NHS neglect. Both were held in custody for the rest of the day, even though Mr. Carroll was the victim of an assault. In a shameful spectacle, the Metropolitan Police assumed the character of Saudi Arabia's Committee for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice and imposed Sharia law on the two non-Muslim British citizens on a charity walk in their own capital. This episode demonstrated 10 clear lapses of liberty that are evident in modern Britain, which is now adopting the values of a pre-modern society. And it goes, number one, no freedom of expression. You can say what you like if it supports the regime. The hysteria that followed Tommy Robinson's announcement of his charity walk was due to him voicing opinions that the political elite disagree with him. His views amounted to questioning government policy, which is an essential characteristic of a free society. It is the right of any British citizen to point out the failure of government policy, yet those with power want to silence him. It seems likely that pressure had even been put on charities not to accept any money raised by one may also wonder if similar pressure was put on the grieving family of Lee Rigby. If the so-called leaders of our society disagree with what Tommy says, then why don't they debate issues with him in irrational terms without resorting to name-calling? The reason is, of course, they have no rational explanations, or at least none that would be seen in the interests of the country and its people. Number two, freedom of movement, emergence of a checkpoint culture. Whoa, I've just slipped down this. I've slipped down a little bit. And it goes on. The events of Saturday, this was number two actually, the events of Saturday clearly illustrate that British citizens no longer have freedom of movement within their own country. very tenuous reasons are invoked to justify authoritarian restrictions on movement. Britain is clearly on the path towards the development of a checkpoint culture. Cameron's comrades. This is number three. Cameron's comrades, UN bother boys. The organisation emphatically called Unite Against Fascism, you have stalked EDL since its creation and brought violence to its otherwise peaceful events. According to the UAF website, current Prime Minister David Cameron was a signatory, was a signatory to the UAF's founding statement. His apparent reluctance to disavow this group suggests that he is a key supporter of this violent group of bother boys. Is UAF actually run by orders from Downing Street itself? There's a question mark there. It will be interesting to find out whether those involved in the assault of Kevin prior to his and Tommy's arrest was an agent of Cameron's street thug organisation. How can a sitting Prime Minister retain power while potentially commanding a street militia charged with attacking political opponents of the ruling regime? What sort of country has Britain now become? Indeed, was there collusion between these Cameron's comrades and the Metropolitan Police? Good questions there, isn't it, Tom? Number four, commissioners in the Met. Political policing, which we've often talked about, haven't we, Tom? Often.
Yeah, well, we know it's there, don't we?
We certainly do. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the same thing. When you're in the heart of London, it is almost like political policing is really happening. We're not just saying that. This is a fact. And it goes on to say, in the Soviet Union, political commissars were placed in the military to oversee commanders and ensure their ideological purity. The events on Saturday suggest the existence of something similar in the Metropolitan Police. On Saturday, even with police all around the EDL leaders, a man was allowed to step forward and assault one of them. A police chief inspector, no less, was then immediately on hand to arrest the victims of the assault. Why did Tommy and Devin have to be arrested by such a senior police officer? Was that officer a kind of commissioner who was directed to make this on political grounds? Surely a simple arrest, if fully justified, could have been carried out by an ordinary copper. Did the police who were around the EDL leaders allow the assault place because their minds was on a politically motivated board rather than their jobs? Is their system of accelerated promotion for university or common purpose graduates who are willing to toe the political line at the expense of natural justice? If so, it is clear threat to the liberty of the people of the United Kingdom. I underline that as well. The recent revelations about the existence of smear squads in the Met that try to demonise the family of Stephen Lawrence suggest the existence of a politically driven black ops unit at the centre of its operations. It seemed quite readily on hand to do the government's dirty work on Saturday as two people who happened to oppose some government policies that are deemed legally beyond the realm of criticism. Is Metropolitan Police smear squad now targeting key EDL leaders in the same way it's targeting the Lawrence family? Does the Met serve the public or the political elite and its ideology? And I would like to say the latter, the elite and the ideology. Anyway, I've got a couple more points there. I know it's quite a long article, but it's worth a good read, isn't it, Tom? Let's see how far
we go. You were breaking up really slightly. It keeps going on and off.
Okay, maybe I was moving my head up and animated that. How am I now? Well, I'm keeping still. Am I still clear, Tom?
Ah, well, it went real staticky towards the end then.
Did it?
Yeah.
Well, give me an heads up. If I carry on, I'll just read a couple more little bits from this article. And if we do get any further problems, I can just call back in, something like that. Yeah. Anyway, should I continue reading this?
By all means, mate.
Okay. This is number five. There is failing welfare state and economic mismanagement. There is no more effective way of illustrating the incompetence of the political class than to point to the current economic malaise. This is obviously something to which the government does not want attention drawn. The welfare state is used as a vehicle to control the masses. By pointing out the case of a girl who was sent home to die by the NHS, the EDL was drawing attention to the welfare state's empty coffers caused by the economic incompetence of the political class. This is something that clearly couldn't be tolerated. The message that a girl was dying because all the money had been spent propping up failed bankers would not go down well with the spin doctors. And then it's number six, Islamic sovereignty. The implication of British citizens being denied access to the London Borough of Tower Hamlets is that the government has effectively ceded sovereignty of that area. It seems that Islamic community leaders now have the power to grant or bar access to their territory that, legally speaking, is part of the United Kingdom. It is time for the government to be honest and admit it is no longer able to control areas that it supposedly governs. That's a very good point there. Would you not agree, Tom? Very good point.
Yeah, you broke up a little bit there again, mate.
Oh. Okay. But did you get a grip of it?
I can understand you all right. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, sometimes it starts sounding like you're underwater, then you're out of it.
Okay. Well, my apologies to the listeners out there. As I say, probably in a minute I might call back in and continue a bit. But just want to do, there's one more, it's about another three things that I just needed to talk about. just stop me if I'm breaking up at all during the next little bit, could you please, Tom?
Yeah, I'll do a big German halt if you want. Halt!
Okay. Anyway, this is number seven. Sharia law enforced in the UK. Saturday's arrest of Tommy Robinson and Kevin Moore demonstrates quite clearly that Sharia law is now routinely enforced in the United Kingdom. Actually, it's not called Sharia, but if it quacks like a duck, etc. If someone criticises Islam, they are in violation of Sharia law. If the police arrest someone because they have engaged in such criticism, then they are quite clearly enforcing Sharia law. If the courts punish people for this, then they are doing the same. Pretending that someone is arrested or punished for something else is just an exercise in smoke and mirrors. They are arrested, punished, because they have transgressed the scriptures and superstitions of Sharia law. And anyway, it's got another couple of points, but I'll let you take. I've just got a couple of points, and I'll just put that on the back burner for the time being, and then I'll finish it off a bit late, so I do know I was breaking there.
Well, do you want to play a song and then we can bring Bill in? Because I know he's been on hold for a bit.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Bill, I'm sorry. Yes, please do. Bill, sorry to keep you waiting. I had to go through that, and I know it took a bit longer than what I expected, but my apologies. Yes, please, Tom, if you could play a little tune for us, that'd be great.
We can have an old classic, if you like. Well, I won't say a classic 3DL, but an old classic British tune.
Okay.
All right, then. It's 3 minutes. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, bruv.
All right, here we go.
Hello. give you a toast, ladies and gentlemen. I give you a toast, ladies and gentlemen. May this fair land we love so well in dignity and freedom dwell. The world may change and go awry, while there is still one voice to cry. There'll always be an England while there's a country lane. Wherever there's a cottage small beside a field of grain, there'll always be an England while there's a busy street. Wherever there's a turning wheel, a million marching feet. Red, white and blue, what does it mean to you? Surely you're proud, shouted aloud, Britain's awake. Empire too, we can depend on you. Freedom remains, these are the chains nothing can break. There'll always be an England, and England shall be free. If England means as much to you as England means to me.
About that. It makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, doesn't it, Tom, when you hear that tune every time?
Yeah, plus it has the same effect on people today as it did back then.
It certainly did. And when was that tune? Oh, my goodness me. We're talking
1940.
Oh, my goodness me. So there you go. And it's still as popular with people now as it was right back then. And it feels very familiar, the times that we live. That tune is becomes such a prominent theme that we hear now again. It's quite obvious that we are living in those times once again. But Tom, before we, I know we've got Asa Bill who's waiting patiently there. I was wondering if we could. There's someone I just had a chat to a minute ago, and it's something it's really important he wants to speak about. So, Bill, if it's okay with you, brother, I just want to bring Dave Baxton from the CDL on. He wants to say there's something very important that he wants to speak about. So if we can just bring Dave on and he can mention about this point that he was talking to me about when we just had a little conference there. and then we'll bring you in, Bill, okay? So with that, go ahead, Dave. Dave?
Hi, Tommy. Hey, GR. This is Dave from
brother.
Texas. What's up?
Good to see you, Dave.
I wanted to talk to you about. I wanted to talk to you about the tweet that Tommy made, and about the Metropolitan Police saying he couldn't retweet death threats against him and his family.
Yeah.
It's insanity. The UK is going through insanity. I didn't. You know. Actually, they need a barrister or something for the EDL because I just want to jump on it because this is so insane. They said because the reason was because to defend Muslims. What do they say?
Well, they said that it can offend other people or something like that, they put it. But it's quite obvious that why should, you know, Tommy Robinson, he gets death threats all the time. Why shouldn't he retweet what some of these caranimals have, you know, sent him? Why should he not be allowed to put it in the public domain? This is what he experienced every day. And what they're trying to do is silence Tommy from speaking about the death threats he's getting simply because they're they're complacent not to do their jobs and go after these people that's making these bloody death threats. Would you not agree, Dave?
Absolutely. It makes no sense except they're trying to harass Tommy into, I don't know, doing what? Quitting? You know?
He's never going to
quit. Well, they've been trying to do that since day one.
Yeah, he never do that. Yeah, but
the Metropolitan
Police.
They need
but
Kevin Garvey,
that,
the one...
With Tommy, the thing about it is, Dave, it makes you realise that in their eyes, Tommy's life doesn't mean anything to them. And basically, they want to silence the threats that Tommy's getting, just to try to, everything's fine. No, it's not bloody fine. He's having his life threatened. Why shouldn't he retweet? And as you said, Dave, that we should have some legal beagle who should be sitting there and making a point. This is the point of the law. The police are going beyond their bounds of duty. They are basically being Sharia compliant.
Tommy, what is going to happen? Can you imagine what's going to happen when Tommy dies, when Tommy's shot? It's going to be violence.
Dave, you know, I mean, this is the problem, that they don't seem to gauge that Tommy is a very popular man. Whether the elitists like it or not, he is the voice of the people. The world listens. People, do you know, Dave, in India, Tommy is a household name. This is what Anchinti was telling us. He is a household name in India. This is how popular Tommy is. If something happened to him, because of the police and the powers be, allowed this to happen, well, it's quite obvious there will be problems on the streets. You know, it's quite obvious. We can see it. We hope it will never happen because that's all we call for. Tommy needs security. Metropolitan Police didn't protect Tommy or Kevin that day, Dave. You know that, I know that, and most of the world knows that. They let these people, and I think it was you actually said that you're sure that this guy, one of these guys, had something behind his back, something shiny.
Oh, he's in my five for sure.
Not for sure, but
90%. No, but, okay. If anything ever did happen to Tommy... You know, God forbid, the police are basically trying for it not to happen because they know if anything ever happens to Tommy or Kev or their families, there'll be a massive uproar because basically Tommy's probably one of the most infamous people in the country. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, Tommy and Geoff, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Has anybody from the EDL contacted Gavin Bobby, the Mossbuster? As a barrister, you might do it for free.
I think there has been that conversation. You know, we might even have him on one of our future shows. So it has been talked about. I've been in talks with some of our good colleagues there. Of course, Vlad's been talking to him as well. So it's quite a possibility that we might have that gentleman on the show. And you know, just to give you a bit of a heads up, that there has been ongoing talks there, Dave.
Wonderful.
And our listeners know as
well. Well, anyway, thank you for letting me call in and let me talk to y'all. And I always love talking to y'all.
Very good point.
And y'all have a wonderful evening,
no.
Okay?
Yeah, and you. Thank you very much for calling and a good, valid point. So thank you so much, Dave. That was a great call. Thank you, brother. Take care. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, as I say, that was Dave Paxton from the CDL. Great call. And it's only right that is a very valid point, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah.
Talking about. I'm very worried that, you know, you're getting tweets, death threat tweets, and You're not allowed to because you'll get arrested. If you retweet a death threat, then you're going to be arrested.
And if we did it against a Muslim, you know, you'd be getting that 3 o'clock knock on the door.
Of course we would. And this is what I'm saying. Ladies and gentlemen, you might think, oh, we just say this, that. But this is facts. This is out there. And most of you will probably know Dave Paxton, he's in America. He knows this is happening. And this is what we're experiencing. Mr. Tommy Robinson, who has death threats on a daily basis, has been told that if he retweets any of these death threats, that he's going to be arrested. Can you believe it? That we live in a time now that because you're a victim of this thing, that people are threatening your life, your family's life, and if you retweet it, you're going to be arrested. If this is not dictatorship in this country, a political police state, whatever you want to call it, this is the times that we're living, and we must stand up against it. This is wrong. This is morally wrong. It's legally wrong, and we must press on these points because it's bad. But anyway, Tom, I'll get on a bit because it makes me so bloody angry what's going on in our country. Not just this country, across the world. Similar situations, maybe not as life-threatening as the tweets that Tommy Robinson's been getting, but all the same, it's similar sort of things are happening around the world. It's like an Orwellian, which we spoke about before, myself and Vlad. It's like an Orwellian effect, you know. It's wrong is right, right is wrong. It's just the crazy, crazy times that we live. I never thought that I would live in a time that is like this. That it makes your blood boil. But you know, they are doing it for a reason. They want us to rise up against it. They've got a plan to put, they want to put a plan in. It's quite obvious. That's how it feels to me. Why do they do it otherwise? Why do they continue to let these things happen? Can you tell, you know, anybody with logical sense out there, can you make sense of why they do these things to provoke us, to try to make us angry, to make us do something? It does seem that is what they're trying to do. I don't know if you agree with me. But anyway, I'm not breaking up too bad much, Tom. I'm not too bad at the moment.
I won't say it. Well, you're not breaking up on mine. I'm not sure about anyone else. But we've got young Bill still listening.
Yes, and I've got to apologise. Bill, I just, you know, I had a quick chat today just before, and it was a really valid point that he was making this evening. So I was wondering if you could invite our dear friend, Sir Bill. Let's call him Sir Bill, brother.
Yeah.
Salute. Please go ahead and bring...
All right, then. Mr. Faulty, you are live.
Thank you very much, Mr. English. I just want to make a quick comment on Dave, valid point that Dave just made there from the States. You know, all of this about Tommy, they're going to try and arrest him for this, that, and the other. It's all about frustration. They want to get him in front of a magistrate where they can then ban him from doing certain things. Because I can't see a court of law upholding something like that. This man's been on the TV on several occasions with all of these death threats in his hands, printed off, and nobody has allowed him to speak about them properly or taken them on. And it stinks to high heaven.
Yeah.
And I would love dearly to see a high-quality barrister come forward and just turn around and say, well, this is just totally wrong, and we're going to fight this all the way through, even to the European Court of Human Rights. Because what's happening in the UK at the moment is an enforced Sharia law upon all of us.
Yes.
And that came out more prominently on Saturday when he was arrested after his cousin was assaulted, and the outcome of that was to ban him from massive parts of East London. He's a British man in England. He's entitled to walk where the hell he wants, and he was doing it for charity. And this government should hang its head in bloody shame.
I agree with you.
Giving out death threats on social media network is not only morally wrong, but it's also illegal under several acts. You've got the Communications Act, you've got the Computer Misuse Act. It also comes under cyberbullying, because even adults can become victims of it, and it's still illegal.
Nobody wants to hear it, Tom, because it's against the member of the EDL. But apart from that, I'll say this, just I'm hoping Dave's still listening. Tommy Robinson's more than just the leader of the EDL. There isn't another man in this country would stand in his shoes. He's EDL 24/7. He cannot walk away from this, because no matter where he went, he would be recognised. And God forbid they ever try to attack him, because the uproar in this country would be so bloody, it'd be frightening.
Well, I agree with you 100% there, Bill. Just a little bit that we were talking about, like he's talking about Gavin Bovey, you know, that we was been talking about. And actually, I've just had a little, someone has just mentioned to me that Tom and Kev have met with Gavin before. They have met with him before, so... possibility that we might have him on one of our future shows, but that was just something that I was looking through my Skype and I just come across. But thank you, Chris, for that. God, thank people. There's a lot of people in the background. There's great works and just gives me a bit of a head start on certain things. So once again, great team EDL there, Bill.
I just to let you all know, in America there is a jihadist group claiming credit for the Arizona wildfire.
Well, let
me open it up. Fire jihad. Whether there is any truth to their claim or not, consider how savage and depraved it is for anyone or any group to take credit for such a monstrous an act. And in the name of their religion, no less, Allah Fubar. The devout Muslim group Al-Qaeda has long urged the setting of forest fires as a form of jihad. Spring 2012, Al-Qaeda's English-language online magazine, Inspire, published an article called It Is of Your Freedom to Ignite a Firebomb, which featured instructions how to build an incendiary bomb and to light a forest fire. Palestinian jihadist group claims credit for the Arizona wildfire by David Barnett, Long War Journal. A Palestinian jihadist group, Masada al-Mujahideen, recently claimed credit for the ongoing wildfires in Arizona in a statement posted to jihadist forums today. The statement titled Masada al-Mujahideen fulfilled its promise and attacked America again after the expiration of the period with fires that achieved historic results, was obtained and translated by the site intelligence group. We have previously announced an unconventional war against the occupation state of Israel, and then we escalated this war to reach its main supporter, America, so that it receives a major share of it, which will destroy their flora and fauna with permission from Allah and then with our hands, the group said. The statement further said that the group targeted the United States in order to make it clear and to make it know we can reach it when we want it, and make it certain that our hands don't just reach it but can also strike it. The group warned that the attacks will not be the last if America does not respond to our demands. The statement boasted that 19 firefighters have been killed in the fire. Contrary to the claims of Masada al-Mujahideen, authorities have said that the fire was started by a result of a lightning strike. Oh dear!
They do want to take the thing for it, don't they? Every time they want to stand up and say yeah, because there's certain things out there that they tell how to go about creating these fires. So it's quite obvious they want to take advantage of what's been going on. Don't they? They wouldn't, you know, it's just what they tend to do, isn't it, Bill? Isn't it, Tom?
Yeah.
It certainly is. They're looking for every opportunity of propaganda, whether they were responsible or not. To praise something like this when 19 brave souls died trying to protect property and valuable timber supplies. For anybody to claim credit for that, whether they did it or not, it's just so sick. It really is.
But
it's propaganda.
Anyway, aren't they, Bill? Let's be honest. Anybody that makes them claims are sick individuals or sick, whoever they are, to actually say that. It just goes to show you that these are the people that we deal with, ladies and gentlemen, all the time. That they claim, they're quite happy to claim that it was them who caused these fires. What's this do? All they're doing is bring about their own destruction. But if it comes down that people are losing their lives over these people create fires, there's going to be hell to pay. They don't seem to realise that, do they? They just don't get it. What they're creating, what they're stirring up.
The thing is, the vast majority of the public, even in America, I think America's still asleep, just don't believe that this is happening on the doorstep. They're just so busy in their own lives that they let this sort of thing go by. And we're all going to pay the price in the fullness of time. Unfortunately, Europe as a whole is far more in far more trouble than what America is. It's usually the other way around. We normally follow them about 10 years behind them and all fads and things like that. But this is a dangerous phenomenon which is happening in Europe and starting in America. And we need that big country to wake up. Because once wake up and start to act against it, then maybe our government, being the puppets they are, will follow the lead of the Americans, because at the moment they're doing nothing.
Yeah, but the problem is with America, they've got that squatter in the White House.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, how that man can honestly say the future does not belong to those who insult the Prophet Muhammad, so I guess the future belongs to those who kill in the name of their so-called religion.
Yeah. But our prime minister is just as bad. You know, the first victim of terrorism is Islam. It's all of the world leaders. The only people I've seen to be doing anything serious against this are the French, and that's quite subdued, but at least they're trying to do something. Our government's just waiting for the lead. I'm sure if America suddenly turned around and said, this has got to be attacked now and it's got to be sorted out, we would follow. But in the meanwhile, I'm afraid it's down to people like the EDL marching the streets and making themselves heard.
Yeah, deep down is that the whole world, and obviously I say the whole country supports us, but because they're so scared of mentioning the word Muslim outside of their house. I mean, do you remember when Kev was on, Jeff, and he said, when he's with his friends, he always go, Muslims, Islam. They whisper it so no one else can hear because they're scared of being called a racist.
Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, these days, now, as you say, what we've done, being part of the EDL, people are speaking, again, Muslims, Islam. They're not scared to say it. But at that time, what Kevin was saying is people used to lightly be talking, then they go, yeah, and that's the Muslim situation. And you go, what are you talking like that for? We've got a Muslim problem. They speak about Muslim problems. Why do you have to be voice? But that is because of the way that we've been banged down with a political correct stick for so long. That's what Kevin was meaning. But, you know, some of us have now stood up and said, this is the problem. Islam is the problem. Islamists are the problem. Sharia law, Sharia courts, this is the problem. And we continue to speak out because, as we know, we live in a politically correct orientated country where politicians are too scared to. So it takes people like us, from working class people as countries, finally, once again, it's always us, isn't it, Bill? It's always us, Tom, who's got to stand up and do what's right for this country. And shed blood. People shedding blood on the streets, speaking out. Because if we don't do it, no one else is going to do it. And this country will fall. And not on my watch, not on Bill's watch, or Tommy's. It's not going to happen. We will fight it all the way. Never.
Yeah, and I mean, the one thing that upsets a lot of the older EDL members, and I guess it'll upset you too and all, is that I have to grow up with it.
Yes, you certainly
do. You know, when I was in school, I didn't know about the Crusades. I didn't even know about the Crusades, so I joined the EDL. I mean, when I was in school, I mean, I could get my primary school books out now. Islam this, Islam that, my trip to mosque. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just absolutely madness. This is what you said, wasn't it, Bill? That it is just mad. What we're saying about, no wonder we get so angry, but maybe politicians, the elitists, want us to get that way. Maybe there is a plan to put us down. You know what I'm saying? That they'll quail as they would bring in European soldiers to take up on the streets to quell the uprising, what could happen in this country. We could have an English Spring, couldn't we? A situation like that. I mean, come on, guys. Look what's happening across the world with these people on the street. You make changes. It's people power in the end. Doesn't matter what politicians sitting there. You, these people are doing the country wrong. People stand together. You're going to bring a government down. Am I right or wrong, Bill? We're bringing a government down.
You're right. But, to quote a famous man, I have a dream. And I would love to see tens of thousands of members of the English Defence League and like-minded people marching on Whitehall and demanding change. But we're a long way away from there. The sad thing is, it's going to be other sad atrocities that's going to draw people to us.
I do believe that's what we will see. I do believe that what we see with the death of Lee Rigby isn't the end. Far from it. I do believe the way it is that we're going to see more attacks in this country.
It's inevitable. Things can't keep on going the way they are. They're pushing and pushing and pushing all the time, and they're getting more and more radical, especially the youth. And this is so annoying because the second and third generation, I mean, they've been brought up here, educated here, and this country's given them a good life, a better life than what their families had before them.
Yeah.
But they're pushing and pushing and pushing us, and they're getting more and more violent in their own areas where they honestly believe they control their own areas, backed up by the police's reluctance to do anything about it. And it's only a matter of time before we have more atrocities. And it's sad. I'd hate to see it happen, but that's what's going to draw people on the streets.
Yeah, and the thing is that when they say that the EDL is fueling Islamophobia, Muslims feel Islamophobic. It's their acts that make people say, right, I don't like you doing that. And plus, when they say, I'm an Islamophobe because I'm against Islam, so here's what I say, well, I'm against Nazism. Does that make me a Nazi-phobe? I'm against communism. Does that make me a communist?
I've seen your post about that. I've seen your post on that the other night.
Yeah. Well, it's true, isn't it? I mean, I'm against Nazis. Does that make me a Nazi-phobe?
Yeah. Did you by any chance get a chance to see Pat Connell's new video that he's put out?
Oh, we've got that, haven't we?
I was thinking, guys, in a second we could play this.
He's had an in-depth look at the EDL, and we all know the man speaks his mind and he speaks the truth. He's an A-grade speaker. He's looked closely at the EDL, and I think everybody should listen to what he has to say because it is really, really enlightening.
I agree. As I say, I was going to do that. But what I want to do, I've got a call. I'm just going to take another call, if that's okay, guys. And then we'll play the Mr. Pat Condell, because it's a great video. It's the first time I heard it today, and I don't think you've heard it yet, Tommy, have you?
No, I've not heard it, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay. So what I'll do, so guys... what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring on John, the... the Lion. I'm just going to bring him on, and then John, I'm just going to have a quick chat, and then we're going to play this Pat Condell clip that we've talked about right at the beginning with, and everybody's looking forward to it. So you're live. Go ahead, John. It's good to see you here tonight.
I'll tell you what. I'll call back in a minute. I think you should play the thing first. All right.
Okay, then, John. Okay, then, brother.
I love the enthusiasm.
All right.
Okay, bruv, what I'll do is I'll put you off back on mute, and then we'll play that and we'll come back to you. Okay there, John?
That's all good.
Okay, here we go.
Thanks.
Right. Just bear with me. Oh, my little thing's going around. There you go. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I know a lot of you have been looking for it. You might not have heard it. I know Tommy hasn't heard it. So, Mr. Pat Condell, go ahead. Go ahead with your video. Here we go.
Okay, this is a video about liars, cowards, fascists, and hate mongers. I hope you enjoy it. People keep asking me what I think about the English Defence League, so I went to their website and read it quite carefully, looking for racism and fascism, of course, because the media keep telling me that they're far right. But, well, I'm a little puzzled because all I can find is a healthy regard for human rights, democracy, and the rule of law. Not a whiff of racism or fascism, and not a hint of far-right politics of any kind. Am I missing something? Now, I realise what a minefield I'm stepping into here, because I've noticed that anyone who doesn't condemn the EDL as far-right, fascist and racist is instantly written off as far-right, fascist and racist. But if I cared about my personal reputation, I would have stopped making videos a long time ago. I don't care what anyone thinks of me, I care what I think of me, and I care about the truth. And from my observations, the truth is that the EDL are not the problem. They're merely a symptom of a wider problem that nobody wants to address because we're all afraid of the truth. There's a word for that, veritophobia. So you see, we do have a phobia after all. When did we all become so afraid of the truth? When we realized that the truth offends Islam, and that when Islam is offended, violence is never far away. This is why we've trimmed our rights and freedoms so that we can no longer even speak our mind without fear of being arrested. We've twisted ourselves like pretzels to accommodate an aggressive, supremacist religion that despises everything we stand for. Not that we stand for much anymore, because all our values have been turned inside out. What's right is wrong, what's wrong is correct, what's correct is right. We don't know if we're coming or going anymore, and that is a symptom of a condition, the condition of people who don't really believe in anything because they have no reason to, and who have never had to defend anything of value in their lives. Who wouldn't know how? Now, nobody's suggesting that the EDL doesn't have its share of bad apples, but I can't help thinking that if it was a movement of middle-class university students, the media would portray it in a completely different way. But because it's mainly working-class men, they desperately want them to be fascist and racist, because if working-class men have a political opinion, it has to be a violent, subhuman opinion, because that's who they are. They're all football hooligans at heart. Never mind that their demonstrations are always peaceful because they may be working class, but they're not stupid and they know what would happen to them if they weren't peaceful. And how else are they supposed to get their voices heard? Write a column in The Guardian, perhaps. Peaceful street protest is all they've got. Whenever violence does occur, it's always instigated by a mob of middle-class left-wing thugs, ironically called Unite Against Fascism, who turn up with the express intention of using violence to stamp on free speech. And this is because Unite Against Fascism, despite its virtuous sounding name, is actually a front for the hardline Socialist Workers' Party, which is full of angry middle-class casualties who still hate their parents, who wouldn't know a day's work if it bit them on the arse, and who patronise the working class because they hate and fear them. When these self-righteous cretins are not violently defending Islamic jihad, they're busy shouting down people who advocate democracy and the supremacy of parliament, who they also regard as fascists. But these are the real fascists, and these are the people the police should be focusing on, the extreme nutcase fringe of the hard-left, nutcase fringe Stalinist wing. They persuaded a bunch of politicians and other public figures to sign their mission statement by lying and calling themselves anti-fascists, thus neatly acquiring for themselves license to practice the politics of the jackboot, to operate outside the law and to explicitly endorse and use violence to silence opinions they disapprove of. If any other political organization behaved like this, it would be shut down. But the police, the politicians, and the middle-class media are all so terrified of the truth, they'd rather focus obsessively on a symptom of the problem and give the real fascists a free ride. Recently, when one of their leadership was accused of rape, the Socialist Workers' Party handled the situation with all the crass misogyny you would expect from their friends in the Sharia court. They didn't report the allegations to the police because, as they put it, they had no faith in the bourgeois court system to deliver justice. Still sound like your kind of people, middle-class lefties? Instead, the women, yes, there were more than one, were aggressively cross-examined about their social history and sexual conduct, and then the matter was whitewashed internally. One of them actually said that, in her opinion, the Socialist Workers' Party is a dangerous environment for women. These are the people behind Unite Against Fascism, just so you know who you're actually supporting from your cozy, progressive, middle-class bubble. Another jihad-supporting far-left hate group with a misleading name is Hope Not Hate, and recently, along with British MP Keith Vaz, a man for whom the word oleaginous might have been personally coined, they were instrumental in persuading the government to ban two prominent American critics of Islam from visiting Britain. It didn't matter that what they say about Islam is true. Indeed, this is precisely why they were banned, because it is true and provably so. Robert Spencer is an Islamic scholar. He knows the Quran better than most Muslims, including imams, as he proved recently in a radio interview when an imam incredibly accused him of having the advantage because Islam is his specialist subject. He and Pamela Geller have been banned from Britain because they tell the truth, and because the truth is a threat to Islam. Therefore, the truth, according to the UK government, is not conducive to the public good, which is a cowardly way of saying Muslims might become violent. In short, because Islam is afraid of the truth, we all have to be afraid of it. Afraid to speak it, afraid even to listen to it. Thanks to Islam, the truth has become our enemy, and future generations will pay a very heavy price with their freedom for that, because when the truth is your enemy, you know, and the world knows, that you are going to lose. It's just a matter of when.
Well, there you go. And we're going to play that again. What do you reckon, guys? Wow. I think Pat Cordell, big round of applause. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
I don't know what to say.
I know. He sums it up. He sort of puts about six and a half minutes, and he tells you the way that we speak about all the time when we do the show, exactly. And he covers all the ground. And what can I say? One day, maybe not in a too distant future, we might, you know, I don't know, a few people might know Mr. Condell, and we might even have him on the show. You never know. These things happen.
Oh, if he ever called into the show, I'd be like, I don't know what to say.
Oh. Yeah,
well,
like,
also, just to let everyone know, John, don't mention Birmingham Demo in the chat box, or I'll start getting me buzz on. have we still got John in the call list?
We certainly have. Maybe we'll bring him on because he's been patiently waiting, and I know he wanted to listen to that. So, John, you're live. Go ahead, brother. I know you're sitting there patiently. Go ahead.
Helping myself.
There you go.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. I was going to say something, but it's, I don't know. It's gone now.
Oh, my goodness me. You're as bad as me, John.
Yeah, you know that guy I was just talking? Was that the fella from the British Freedom Party, was it?
No, that was Pat Cordell.
Oh, right.
Oh, there's the links out there in the chat room, John, if you want to check it out, and you can follow. He's absolutely superb. And it's really good to hear him endorsing the EDL.
What's his name?
Pat Cordell.
Pat Cordell. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I've seen a video of him before.
Oh. What have you been missing, old son?
Is there a link in here, is there?
There is a link in the chat room, isn't there? I put one in there earlier.
Now, I've had some things in my time, but I've never heard anyone say I've not seen Pat Cordell.
No, I probably have.
No, I know. John, you surprised me, brother.
I won't sleep tonight now. I won't sleep.
No, I probably have, but I'm not sure, because I see so many fucking videos. I mean, I see a lot of videos, yeah. I watch them all.
He's got plenty of videos out there, and I upload many of his videos that he's done before on the show. Say, he speaks so well. He speaks about everything that's spot on, isn't
it? Oh, is that him?
I just to let you all know that the little Walsall thug has just crawled in.
Awesome.
Hello, Liam.
Oh, Liam. Good evening, brother. I hope you're well.
Okay. EDL Thugs Unite. Facebook.
What?
Yeah, someone's dropped a link in there. I don't know.
No, it's EDL Youths.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Oh, goodness me, John, what are you doing?
Oh, man.
No, it's okay. I mean, flip a word. No, once again, my goodness me, Tom, John, Bill, we've got such a busy chat room this evening.
Yes,
you know, and more people being, well, you know, been pouring into the chat room this evening. So it's good we've had quite a few things that we've talked about, and it's good to have people call in. And do you know what we haven't done, Tom, which I'm really getting annoyed with myself not doing? We haven't give out the telephone number. Have we ever done that?
Well, you were talking about that last time, weren't you? I think. I'm not sure.
He keeps forgetting now. Ever since he said 62, it's just gone downhill.
Oh, wait. Ladies and gentlemen, can you... This is ageism. This is just some ageism.
I'm with you,
there's
Jim.
A law against that, mate. Are you there, Bill? Can you hear him?
I can hear this, man. I'm standing shoulder to shoulder with you against these youngins.
I know.
What's all
fellas?
We've
got a
big
going for us.
If you start saying I'm ageist, you're going to throw a banner up saying apparently EDL's ageism. Oh, we heard him on Blog Talk Radio.
The EDL, no longer silent, not racist, but ageist. No bus passes allowed.
Exactly.
Hey, Bill.
Hi.
Well, all you older ones will be going, get your checkbooks. Get your...
You've been a bad night, so what are we going to do with you, eh?
Can I just jump in with a quickie, please? Just a quick message from an old guy. Anybody who's interested, if they want to, in the Newcastle or northeastern area, if they want to go to the Newcastle page, they'll find out that we have a meet and greet this Saturday. I won't announce it online where we are on the radio where we are. If they want to go onto our main web page and have a little look, you're more than welcome.
I saw that earlier, Bill. I put on if I could get up there, I'll come up.
Yeah. Well, it's a precursor to the Birmingham. It's a precursor to the Birmingham demo, and for us to meet the literally hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of new people who joined us.
Yeah, because I'm sort of new. Well, I am new. I've not been to a demo yet, and my first demo I'd probably go to would be the Birmingham one. That's the one I wanted to go to.
I want to go to it,
when it comes up.
Which part of the world are you from, John?
North West London, aren't
it? Yeah, North West London. I'd be glad to see somebody from the south actually coming this way, coming north again. Because we need every division to stand tall for this.
Oh, definitely. I don't really have any near divisions to me, really. There's a North London one, but it's all different parts, like Enfield and that, you know.
They need
like a Middlesex division, but I don't know. I don't know how people start one. I don't know.
Well, you can't just start one like that. You can start a page.
Yeah, Facebook.
Showing people what you're about, but it's only when you get a certain amount of membership who become active, and then through central office.
How do you get one on the DDL sort of website? How do you get one on there?
You can go into chat rooms on there. You can't really do that. What you need to do is open your own page, under your own banner. And then try and link yourself to other EDL pages where people can learn about you. But you can't just start...
John, it took me 3 years to build mine, and my division is probably one of the strongest ones in the entire organisation.
Are you from Yorkshire then, are you?
Yeah. Yes.
The Yorkshire ones are strongest.
I'm not local division, I run a national one.
All right.
Find out, John, is that if once you start to draw a bit of interest to your own site and protect yourself by being careful what you say, somebody from within your area will probably contact you and bring you on board into an existing division.
But I don't think I've got any members near me at all, not even, I don't know.
You'd be very surprised.
Yeah.
You'd be very, very surprised. A lot of groups are out there who are really, because of a lack of media attention, people don't know about them. But they're always looking. We as an organisation are always looking for like-minded people.
Yeah.
Oh. Someone will pick you up and ask you to come and join. But you only get closer by becoming active.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You have to be
talking in community and that, innit? It's to get to admin, you have to post a lot, don't you, and stuff.
Not necessarily. Some people just sit and watch and jump in when they feel they have to.
I'll
stick my division's Facebook on in the chat box, and you can have a look at what I put on it.
You have got a London.
Because when I go up there, I'm going up like a solo.
That's how I started off, mate. Best way to be.
As somebody said in our group just
now. Oh, is that your division, is it?
That's my division.
That's a new one, isn't it?
We all started as solos at one time.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah, that's mine, mate.
That's brand new, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, no, this has been going around for years.
But there's only 11 members on the site. I don't know.
11 members?
Okay, John, what I'm going to do is put you on hold, mate. And what we've got to do, I've got to read out, because there was a meet and greet, actually, in Lowestoft and Yarmouth. That's on the 13th of July, which is not too far away. And so we got to, as you say, there's one, the meet and greet at Newcastle this Saturday, did you say, Bill?
This Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah,
as I'm up to get to
that one.
Okay, and that, what date is that? What date is it, Saturday?
It's the 6th.
That'd be the 6th. So, yeah, as I say, there's a meet and greet at Newcastle, and if you go to the page, I'm sure you will be informed exactly where it's taking place, because we don't want to say too much over there, because there's some nasty people out there, isn't there?
Oh, yes, there is.
There certainly is. And yes, as I say, that was we got, for say, 13th of July, Lowestoft and Yarmouth. That's a meet and greet as well. So, yeah, please be there, guys. And of course, coming up, 20th of July.
Don't say it, I'll start buzzing.
Birmingham. And also, I've got to read. To be confirmed, Oxford. Okay, that's to be confirmed. That still hasn't been confirmed as of yet. And on the 24th, this is this one, guys. 24th of August, Tower Hamlets. Yes, Tower Hamlets. And of course, the next one is to be confirmed, Dudley Demo. So that's still to be confirmed. And then, as I say, on 5th of October, I was going to say, during this, guys, I'll say October. Exeter Demo.
I'd
be amazed with the Tower Hamlets one.
The last I can see on my list, my lisp. Dear me, what am I like tonight? I need new teeth. On the list tonight, to be confirmed, is Slough. That's the last one there. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been in talks. As I say, Elizabeth Savage-Wolf was supposed to have appeared on the show, but last week, unfortunately, she couldn't appear. But I've been in talks with Elizabeth, and she's going to we made a date for the July the 11th. That'd be on a Friday, okay? Elizabeth Savage returns, and also she's begun to meet, and she'll be telling us about the meeting and her trip that she had in the USA and how well things went. So, and she's got a lot to talk about. So that'd be on the 11th of July. So there you go. I had to do. I've got to read my list out, guys. But I've got to thank everybody tonight. Once again, we've got a very, very busy chat room this evening. I was wondering in a little while. I still haven't got around to reading the bloody phone number. ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call in, please do, because we love taking your calls. If you connected up to Skype and you're a Blog Talk Radio user, then right click on Skype, follow the prompt, and then press 1 to talk to the host, myself or Tommy, and we'll bring you on. But if you're not, and you just got the phone, the number to call in, if you're outside the USA, the number to call in is 001-858-777-5934. Repeat, 001-858-777-5934. So I finally got it out there. But, as I say, with lots of things that's been going on over the last week, it just seems every day or so there's another. I mean, what we've seen going on in Egypt, it's got to be talked about. What we've seen was basically Muslim Brotherhood have been ousted out of office. They've been kicked out. The people of the country didn't like him. Did you see some of the slogans that people were putting out, having a right go at Obama, but saying, we love the American people, but we hate your administration?
There's also one other thing we've neglected to mention, something that our American listeners might not have heard about.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Ramadama Ding Dong.
Ramadam.
Ramadinga Ding Dong.
I mean, have you seen the Channel 4's Facebook page? The amount of things they've received from emails and phone calls and that, saying if you start paying the call to prayer, they're not going to watch Channel 4 anymore.
And rightly so.
Well, Channel 4 ceased to exist because I know people will boycott the whole thing. No way am I going to watch Channel 4 until they retract that. I don't even watch it, you know. As far as I'm concerned, it does not exist.
If you don't want to be called to prayer, yes?
Sorry?
You don't want to be called to prayers.
I tell you what, guys.
We don't need that.
Tell you what. Why don't we just take a small break and play? I was going
to
say, why don't we take a small break and we'll play our own call to prayer?
Go for it, boy. Go for it.
Are you up for it, Jeff?
Yes.
All right, then. So this is
yeah, before we do that, I think that. Just before we do.
Yeah, go on, Jeff.
Yeah, I was going to say, this weekend, this Saturday, and I've been getting big heads up for this. This is Dereham. Dereham, and that's, let's say, Norfolk. Okay, guys. This is a meet and greet. Newcastle, and we got one in Dereham. Dereham, just in case it don't come over right. But there you go, there's a meet and greet there. So either just wanted me to give a big heads up for that. So we've got two meet and greets there, guys. If you can get to them, please do. I know some interesting things be talked about at both of these meet and greets, like it normally is. So, and of course, you normally have a good time. It's all about meeting new people. I love the meet and greets. I've got to admit, I love meet and greets. I love meeting new people, and probably the same as yourself. So if you can get to these meet and greets, please do, guys. Please do. So there you go. You said Dereham. Okay, Jenny telling me. Dereham. There you go. I'm going to pronounce it again for Jenny. Dereham. Does that sound better? Give me a thumbs
Jeff.
Up.
Jeff, you're not helping us old ones here, man. Just spell it.
I think it's spelled Dereham.
We'll just ask Carol Vorderman in the corner then, see how many points you get this while we move on to the maths part.
Yeah, a big thumbs up from JC. Yay, well done, Jeff. She's laughing out loud there.
Right, are we ready for the call to prayer?
Yes, go ahead, Tom.
All right, here we go.
Try to tell me my religion was wrong. They tried to tell me to follow Islam. They said their prophet was a righteous dude, but I found out none of their words were true. I read the Quran and I read the deep, and the sickness of Muhammad was apparent to me. He justified perversion in the name of Allah when he married a girl too young for a boy. She was playing with dolls when the prophet came. Her childhood was stolen in Allah's name. Aisha was 9 when he took her to bed. Don't tell me that fool's not sick in the head. Ain't gonna follow no child molester, sex offender, prophet pretender. Ain't gonna follow no child molester.
Islam's not for me. Islam's not for me.
The sickness of the Islamic mind
has caused the mullahs to be blind.
To justify the prophet, they will justify sin. So the sins of the prophet are repeated again.
All over the world, in Islamic state, 9-year-old girls at the cruel fate.
Sold into marriage to twisted men, and the Aisha sad story is repeated again. Ain't gonna follow no child molester, sex offender, prophet pretender. Ain't gonna follow no child molester.
Islam's not for me. Islam's not for me. Do you care about women all over the world?
Do you care about those little girls?
Then stand up and fight for human rights. Speak out against the laws of Islam.
Follow no child molester, sex offender, prophet pretender. Ain't gonna follow no child molester.
Islam's not for me. Islam's not for me.
Islam's not for me.
Are you?
He has to put his own little bit at the end.
Well, it's got to be done, hasn't it? I just read something in the chat just a second ago, guys. Alan Spence just put in. Worshippers at Darlington Mosque will soon have calls to prayer beamed into their homes after controversial plans for a 7.5-metre transmitter were approved. So there you go. Beaming into your homes, the call of prayer. Oh my goodness me. Yeah. Oh, take the transmitter down. Goodness sake.
I know, it's
human noise. You know that call to prayer? I don't know about you guys what you think. But when I hear that call to prayer, it's like satanic. It's got a satanic feel to it. Do you not agree, Tom? You've heard it a few times.
Yeah. I mean, they do it in Hull. I mean, one time me and my mate was just walking past mosque and he's there on the balcony shouting out, so I just shouted, "Oi, give over!"
Yeah. Keep the bloody noise down, you're waking the kids up.
Yeah, but for those of you who don't know what "Oi, give over" means, it's just Northern talk for "Oi, shut up."
Actually, Drake's drums, you said there.
You what, mate?
Yeah, I was just say, Drake's drum. He said, "Frenzy's boycott calls begin the deliberate provocation from Channel 4 Islam decision." So it seems like they're under a lot of pressure. And they will be boycotted. You know, ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to, and if you like us, we don't want to see this day in, day out. I don't want to listen to Ramadama Ding Dong 7 days a week, whatever it is, for the next hour, ever long month. Do we need it? No, we bloody don't. You know what I'm saying? No, we
does anyone else find it highly ironic how they don't play a tune for when it's time to go to synagogue or when it's time to go to church?
Yeah, exactly. It is cynical. It definitely cynical. You know, we don't need it.
Also, Ivan says, "Go grab your prayer mat."
Well, all my call to our listeners out there is that if you're in the same mindset as myself and Tommy and Bill and the other good people that sit in the chat room and all over across the wherever you might be, boycott Channel 4. Make them realise that they can go out of business. People don't want to have it. We are making a stand against this Channel 4 for doing that. It's wrong. We don't need it.
Yeah, I paid them a visit like I said I would, but the manager refused to see me.
Really?
Yeah, I went to the one in Hull in the little office. Hello, can I help you? Yeah, can I speak to the manager, please, about this whole Islamic supremacy crap?
I like
anyone
that.
See me, so... Oh,
okay.
Bill's just dropped, but I just received a video message from him, so I'll have a look at that in a second. But Bill, if you're still listening, call back in any time, matey.
Yes, please do, Bill. It's always a great honour, Bruce, to have you, and a big salute to your brother. And, well, I hope it all goes well for your Saturday, the meet and greet. I'm sure it's going to be... you're going to get a lot of people tonight. I'm sure
I know, well, what I'll do with...
How many people turned up? 1,000? Amazing. Amazing numbers.
Might pull another 7,000 for a meet and greet.
What I'll do is
I'll have to get on the phone to John after the show and see if he wants to go for a nice drive.
Yeah, it's not too far from you, is it, Tom? I've got to say a big hello to Adrian Rolfe. He's his first time listening. Keep it up, guys. That's what it matters. Adrian, you choose the place to be. We have show starts 3 days a week, Thursdays, Fridays and Sundays. And, of course, we have some great guests. I've got to say, we do, you know, have some great guests. Great callers calling, people like yourself. If you want to call in any time, please do. You know, and that goes to all our guests. If you want to call in the things that we've been talking about, that's what we're here for. We want to hear you. This is your platform, you know. We've all
said
this. The platform, you know. You want to
also,
please do.
If you're offended, please call in and tell us why you're offended. If you're not offended, call in and tell us why you're not offended, and we'll try and offend you.
Yeah. And also, I want to give a big thumbs up and a big salute to our brothers and sisters in America today. Happy 4th of July, guys. I think I mentioned at the beginning. I want to reiterate once again. Happy 4th of July. I hope you have a great day today, guys. So there you go. So it's just, I just see it and I thought, I've got to mention again, because it's a big deal in America. It's Independence Day, you know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and to be honest, at least they've got an American holiday that isn't shunned as being racist or politically incorrect, like our patron St. George's Day.
Yeah, that I think is something that we do.
So basically, my message to the American people is, guys, enjoy your July the 4th while you still can.
Well said. I'll agree, and I think most of our American listeners and friends would agree with everything you said there, because it does come. We are living in critical times now, ladies and gentlemen. That is the problem. We live in critical times. As I said earlier on in the evening, this is a time that we live in now that I never thought I'd live to see. I never thought that I would see politicians openly betraying the great people of this country. Once again, the working class people of this country standing up and speaking out against what the problem is with country. There's got to be certain things that make people do that. You know, that's what the EDL is for. When the soldiers were coming back from doing their tour and being abused, that was a time that had to come about because of the way that the political correctness, the way that things was going, that was basically, it was the poppy bird. It was the actual, you know, the birth of the EDL. We've got to say that's really the birth. And all we've done now is stand up. We are the bastions of this country because we've not got politicians, you know, and we've got lots of friends across the world. We are a massive, massive organisation now.
It's
just grown. And grown, isn't it, Tom?
We've got that many friends now, I just feel sorry for us to write the Christmas cards to them all.
I know, it's amazing, but it's true, as I say. I never thought maybe a couple of years ago that I would be today doing what I'm doing with the East Anglia's EDL radio show. You know, a few years ago, I used to be on Power Talk. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I've spoke before. I used to I used to have different chat rooms there, and I don't, you know, sort of spoke to the public quite, but I didn't realise that one day we'd be doing a radio show. But there you go. It's just strange the way that these times are upon us, and what we're doing, it's a noble cause, ladies and gentlemen. The people look towards the English Defence League. What we do, it's for the future. The future generations, our grandchildren. That's not about us now. It's about the future. And if we don't stop this madness that's going on through our countries, it's just not this country, but other great nations out there. If we don't stop right now, you know, I don't want to think that my legacy will lead to revolution, you know, open warfare in the world. What could happen if we don't stand up and do what we're doing right now? So I do believe in what we're doing. It's the only thing that we can possibly do is to speak out, continuing to demonstrate, you know, peacefully protest, which we've been doing for 4 years, continue to do. And we can make the changes. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that we can make the changes. If you're not too sure, it's the first time, and you want to get a little bit involved with what we do, please get in touch with, you know, with one of us, and we will lead you. If you're not sure if there is if there's a division near you or not too far, we'll point you in the right direction, or we'll pass you on to people that can help you. And I know a lot of you out there want to get involved now. You do realise what we do is the right thing. So please do. You know, it's a call for you, the people. Now it's our time. It's your time. It's my time. It's all our time. Stand as one now. Make your voices heard. You know, it's important, you know. So there you go, Tom. Thank you.
Well, guys, I've something a little off topic, but it might give you a bit of a giggle. Today at 4 p.m. I thought, you know what, I'll get back on Twitter. 5 to 5, your account has been suspended due to racism. And you know what, I posted that, apparently got called racist.
What was that?
I put a picture up of Hitler and Stalin next to each other, and I said, different faces, same hatred. And because I was tweeting Martin Smith, he must have seen it and got a bit upset about it. Oh, saying that, if anyone wants to tweet Martin Smith, I'll just put his Twitter up in the chat box, that's it. But to our archive listeners, it's at MartinUAF. And you
there
can
you
just
go.
Then if you want to go say hello and wish him a happy 4th of July, go for it.
What's his famous thing he says, Tommy? You do it so well. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've heard Tommy do his impression of Martin Smith, but I think he does it so well. That little bit of
Martin Smith impression. All right, go on then.
Good.
But I think we've also got to talk about the organ grinder, David Cameron, the man the scumbag, the man the racist, the man the bigot. Hands off Muslims, David Cameron. You are cutting jobs. You are cutting education. It is time for you to fuck off. There it went then. But do you know what? I mean, guys, it's only a minute, but this is the actual speech.
But I also think we have to say something else. Not just about the monkey. But I think it's time we talked about the organ grinder, David Cameron. The man's a scumbag. The man's a racist. The man's a bigot. So hands off Muslims, David Cameron. You're cutting jobs. You're cutting services. You're cutting education. So don't blame multiculturalism. Blame yourself. You are stirring up racism. Just...
Oh, I can't listen to 38 seconds of it.
Oh, great, Sam. He's rolling up on here. PM self. Himself laughing. Oh, dear. It's that list that cracks me up. I don't know about you, Drake, Sam, that list, but it always makes me laugh. He's a total idiot, isn't he? Let's be honest, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to this.
Well, I can do me Wayman Bennett one if since we're on a roll.
Oh no, we get wet if you do Wayman Bennett, ladies and gentlemen. Wayman Bennett, he can't help it. Every time he talks, he's drooling all over the place. He looks like he's foaming at the mouth.
Well, he's foaming at the mouth. He's got himself a nice little business there. Why use a smoke machine? Why use a foam machine in a nightclub? We can just get Wayman Bennett to talk bullshit for 2 hours.
I like what Alec Bat said. Cameron couldn't stir up a tea without instructions. Well said, Alec. I agree 100%. But that is the case, isn't it? You know, my goodness me. What did he say a while ago that really vexed us? He said that we shouldn't, the Muslims should adapt to us, but what is it?
It's not the British, it's not the Muslim community that should integrate to British society. It's the British people that need to integrate into the Asian society.
Did you hear this? Ladies and gentlemen, this is our, you know, this is the Prime Minister of this country saying that we have got to adapt to the Muslims. You know, we've got to adapt to them, not them to us. So you can see the way things are so wrong in this country. You can see why we're so angry when leading politicians, he calls himself leading, but I tell you what, listen, gentlemen, I don't know if you ever got the time to see him when he was on David Letterman's show, but I was embarrassed watching him. He went red. He couldn't ask a question on the Magna Carta. He didn't have a clue. He looked out of his... He definitely looked out of his league. And I thought if you'd put a clown costume on him, him and Obama, they could have done a clown, you know, thing quite well together because they are a pair of clowns, aren't they, guys?
Yeah.
This is something that I've posted. I can't quite see if I can open up. Tommy Phobia. This is, thank you for that, Ivan. Thank you. Give me a heads up there. It's UK far right. This is on now the website itself, Tom. It says Tommy Phobia. UK far right Islamophobia.
Yeah, I was reading that this afternoon, actually.
Yeah. There have been almost 500 Islamic attacks in Britain since March, with half of them committed by people linked to supporters of far right groups. Most subjects increased Islamophobic facts. You post 9/11. It shows you some links there. London Mosque in the UK has been subject to increased anti-Islamic facts since the historic 9/11 incident. And the recent Jeremy Rigby's murder, according to Independent, the number of anti-Islamic attacks has increased to tenfold in the days following Woolley attack, with mosques being satellite and Muslims targeted in their home in the past month. I mentioned something about that. Ladies and gentlemen, there has been one mosque that actually, that there's been a fire there or something, but this turned out to be, it's gone quiet, but it does seem there is a word out there that it's actually a Muslim. But this the case, they wouldn't put any sort of blame on people like ourselves, or one of them that was burnt down. We saw EDL scrawled on the doors. Did you? Ugh. Well, none of us have seen anything to say that you actually saw those things. It's just your speculation. We're saying to demonise for the organisation. And we've all said that. We're going all forms of extremism. We've all said that, haven't we, Tom? Look in our mission statement last year, we're opposed to any forms of extremism. And to actually do that is a form of extremism. And no. We haven't seen any of our members do anything like that. We haven't seen, you know, they speculate that it's us, but it's not. It's quite obvious. It's just that they want anything like this happens, and it's more or less an inside job, a lot of time. And this is what happened in Luton, wasn't it, Tommy? There was a spate of petrol bomb attacks, this, that, and the other. An EDL sprawled over the place, and as Tommy said, at the end, who did they nick for it? Two Muslims. They categorically said that categorically said that it was nothing to do with the EDL. They want to elaborate it actually was, but it was Muslims. Yes, and this is what we say all the time, isn't it, Tom? This is what we say all the time, just to demonise the bells. But you know, Tom, and the, you know the listeners out there, you, the listeners, the world has woke up. You know what's going on. I don't lie about these things, nor does Tommy. That's something. You come here, you get the truth. It might be nasty, but you know, we tell you the truth. That is one place you come to. We will continue to speak out against these things. The stories that the media will just brush over, we will cover them. Tax on our people, things like that, that the papers don't want to talk about. We will. We'll speak out against these things because it's only right. You, our listening audience there, get the true facts of what's been on in our country. Our country. Oh, my, just me, Tom. Look at the time.
I do apologise. I'm under attack by a moth at the minute.
Oh, my goodness.
It keeps landing on me.
The moth.
I'm on this place at the minute. I was just been looking on the forums. I just noticed I've got over 50 friend requests. I haven't been on it in a while. But, where's the link I had open? I had something up and I've just lost it.
From Ivan. Ivan, thank you for putting the link in this evening as well, brother. It's the Satire Square. Actually, that's on. Of course, that is also on the English Defence League's website. Please check, guys. You will find some absolutely superb, great links there. And it's talking about. Did you see the protests in Tahrir Square in Cairo? So many people. We cannot possibly fit that many people into Hyde Park when our time comes. But with all those people crammed into such a small area, wasn't it so civilised to let women stand in front? Amazing. They even left a little corridor so that people could move around more easily. You certainly wouldn't see that at a protest in the UK. Hang on a minute. Anyway, there is a link there, which Ivan's putting out, as I say, because we are running a bit short. So maybe might cover this a little bit more tomorrow night at the beginning of the show, because we've got some great articles that we have on that, the www.englishdefenseleague.org. I say once again, guys, go check the website. We've got some great people do great works on that website with Tom.
Sorry, I've got everything happening at once. I had a Skype phone call, then I got my Facebook bleeping. You know what, guys? When you run your own division and you're co-hosting your own radio show and you're as busy as me, come talk to me. But tell you what, 8 minutes left.
I know. Once again, I've got to thank everybody, you know, especially Poppy, Ivan, Jenny, all the team out there, yourself, Tommy, and so many people. We haven't done a roll call tonight. I said we've got so many people. But guys, you know, a big salute to you all. Do fantastic works and that. And we've got a great team who sort of comes with different things and different links. So thank you so much, guys, for your continued support on the show, which really, really appreciated. And of course, not getting also our great listening audience out there. Every week we try to do something a little bit different. You know, we maybe like tomorrow night we might have a couple of guests on the show. You never know. I don't know. Sometimes Vlad is saying to me, we've got a couple of great guests on the show. And I love it. Sometimes this is the way that happened. But I say, I'm guaranteeing we've got a great guest on the July the 11th, which is Elizabeth Savage Wolf. And I really look forward to, and I know if you listened to Elizabeth the last time she was on the show, she was great, and I really look forward to welcoming her back on the show once again. But Tom, as I say, once again, we're really, really down to the bar, aren't we? So guys, thank you so much for tuning in to East Anglia's EDL radio show this evening, and we'll be back again tomorrow night, won't we, Tom?
Yep. Half past eight, Greenwich Mean Time. Oh, sorry, we'll do it military form. 20:30 hours, Greenwich Mean Time. I guess 15:30 Eastern Standard Time. No excuses. If you're not here, you're absent without leave.
There you go.
It's okay if it's a radio show after a demo because you're considered missing in action.
Well said. Also, just before we start to wind it right down, Tom, I'd like to thank also a great. She's a staunch listener to the radio show, the East Anglia's radio show, and that's Sue from Mexico. A big salute to you, Sue, because I know you do great works over there, what you're doing. So God bless you. And to anybody that's listening on your devices, wherever you might be, thank you so much for supporting the show, supporting the EDL and what we do. And so we try to bring you any news, anything like that, we try to bring you every show, any news that's breaking. And of course, not forgetting Poppy. She's brilliant.
Poppy.
She's always keeping us up to speed on things and whatever. So God bless you, Poppy. Big salute to our Poppy there and to everybody else. But Tommy, once again, blinding tonight. Been a great co-host as usual. Thank you so much.
And thank you very much for having me. When am I expecting payment? Anyway, I've been doing this for months and I've got my children to feed.
I'd like some payment myself, but no, we are all volunteers. So
yeah,
we're all volunteers. You know that,
I know. Unlike these politicians who were getting, 25 grand a year.
Exactly.
This is completely voluntary. It's a thankless job, guys. You're getting paid basically with the thanks and the praise of the people, the local people where we go to demonstrate. So when the UAF say, we're not welcome in this area, look at Newcastle, for God's sake. Look at Ashton. People coming out to march with us, and you've got 150 UAF, 7,000 EDL, and their website says, EDL chased out by majority anti-fascist counter-protesters.
Yeah, and it's, as I say, ladies and gentlemen, you expect it from these people because they are a dwindling organisation, aren't they? I mean, where we're on the ascendancy, they're slipping down that slippery slope and there's no returning for them. People know them for what they are, scumbags. They talk about other people, that Mike Smith, they're total scumbags. And not doing this country any good whatsoever. But Tom, oh my goodness me, I've got to say goodnight to everybody. Let's go, Tom, thank you so much. And to everybody, Team EDL tonight, God bless you all. Guys, take care, stay safe, God bless you all. Not forgetting, no surrender,
no
guys.
Surrender. No surrender,
no surrender ever.
Ever. If any of you surrender, there. You've had it.
It goes, it's no surrender. No surrender. Good night, guys, God bless you.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, is it going to play?
You've lost the tune, haven't you?
It's not playing. Well, there you go. Hey! Come on, mate.
Yeah.
You might say my life is in a rut. I'm quite happy with what I got. People might say that I should strive for more. But I'm so happy I can't see a point. Things happening here. Pleasure as I hate me, I've been up for any of my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging between the facts. Two years of what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader to place your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises come. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I
there you go. I think I just nearly got to the end of that tune there, Going Underground. It was by The Jam, and Pete was commenting. Yeah, it's a golden oldie, isn't it, guys? But what I could do is I'm just going to play, too long tonight, I'm going to play Road to Damascus, and then I'm going to play my exit thing, which is EDL Class War. I think it's so important people will hear that, and some of you might be listening to the archives that haven't heard that before. It's important you do listen to it and get a feel of what the gentleman's talking about. So anyway, this is of course Alex and the Bandits, Road to Damascus. Enjoy.
I found a freedom on the open road to Damascus. Away,
the lion!
Done some bird, a penitentiary for nerds, and on.
Evening, guys. Especially sometimes play it in between, but as I say, at the end of the show, I've been playing it just lately. So if you haven't heard it before, this is worth listening to, guys. So first time I hear it, it just brings everything in a true perspective to what we talk about. So for myself, Jeff, No Surrender, EDL, we'll be back again tomorrow night, same time, 8:30 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, 3:30 Eastern Central Time, and we'll be back tomorrow. Good night, guys. And not forgetting, No Surrender ever, guys.
There is a class war being fought on the streets of Britain today. And just as in the general strike of the 1920s, where violence erupted onto Britain's streets, a similar situation is taking place today. Once again, the war is between the poor, working-class people of Britain, who are suffering in so many ways because of the policies and the decisions made by the middle classes and by Britain's ruling elite. In the 1920s, the ruling elite were the aristocracy, the hereditary peers and the gentry. Today, our ruling elite are the privileged political classes, politicians from the Labour Party, the Conservatives and Liberal Democrats, who, like others before them, see the working class people of Britain as the lowest of the low, the people whose living standards, culture and quality of life mean nothing and can be manipulated, controlled and crushed in order to benefit the lives of the privileged political and middle classes of Britain. The consequences of the ruling elite and the middle classes' policies of mass Muslim immigration into the UK can be seen in working class areas of towns and cities across the country. The Muslim terrorist plots, paedophile gangs, homophobic attacks, Muslim patrols, Sharia law courts, attacks against women, and the mosques, hate preachers, and Muslim no-go zones can all be found in working class areas of Britain, but never in the quiet, leafy suburbs where the middle classes live. The effects of all the problems that the middle classes have caused are never felt by the middle classes, but they are destroying the lives of the working class people of Britain. The champagne socialists of the Labour Party and the liberal left have shown complete and utter disregard for the working class people in this country, and a political party that was formed to represent the working class is now completely and utterly deaf to their concerns. And worse still, they actually attack them when they speak out about what is happening. Not only are the instruments of the state, the police and the courts, being used to crush and silence anyone from protesting about what is happening to the lives of the working class, but the unofficial representatives of the middle classes are also used to intimidate and stop anyone from speaking out. Groups such as the UAF, which is mostly made up of middle class people from middle class areas with little or no Muslim population, and none of the problems that the working class people see on a daily basis. People who never go to working class areas, people who have never tried to walk through a Muslim no-go zone and have never experienced any of the problems that their ideas and policies have created. They do not feel like strangers in their own country. They do not feel threatened, alienated and live in fear. Their daughters have not been raped by Muslim paedophile gangs. Their children are not afraid to walk down certain streets in our towns and our cities. They have not seen their culture and their way of life gradually disappear, to be replaced by something that is totally alien and aggressive towards them. But the working class people of this country have seen all these things. The ranks of the UAF are also swelled by people who have made a good living from the ruling elite and the middle classes' policies. The social workers, the community cohesion officers, local councillors, MPs, the interfaith leaders, but never by the working class people whose lives have been turned upside down. Groups such as the UAF, which is backed and funded by politicians from all three main parties, are used to try and silence the working class people and to put fear into and intimidate anyone who tries to speak out about the injustices they see. The English Defence League is made up of working class people from working class areas. It is made up of the people who have suffered at first hand the effects of our political elite and the middle classes' decisions, and have to suffer the consequences of them again and again on a daily basis. And yet the English Defence League are slandered and attacked by the media, lied about abused and victimized, just as the working class men and women of the general strike were when they tried to speak out about what was happening to them. They're pelted with bottles and bricks, spat at and attacked for simply telling the truth about what is happening to their lives, their children's lives, their culture and their communities. The working class people of Britain really have bore the brunt and suffered the most from Muslim extremism, because the political elite have housed those extremists on working class streets and in working class communities, and they expect the people there to simply shut up and suffer the violence, persecution, intimidation and fear, while the middle classes stay as far away from all this as possible. But all the while, they try and silence anyone who speaks out. But the English Defence League will not be silenced. We will not simply go away. You can attack us, lie about us, and imprison us, but we are never going to be silent. Our way of life is more important to us than your greed. Our way of life, the way of life of our fathers and our grandfathers, is not yours to manipulate, change, and destroy. We will always speak the truth about what we see happening around us and the suffering it is causing. The English Defence League are never going to go away. We are only going to get stronger and stronger, because unlike you, our lives and the lives of our children depend on this. And no matter what you do, we are never going to surrender to you, to Islam, or to anybody else.